If you've looked at your bulletin, you have seen the name of the title of today's message. And let me just say, this is going to be a series of messages. The Lord has impressed upon me the desperate need of addressing the spiritual war, the spiritual battle that rages on around us. We are, in fact, in spiritual war. I don't know if you're aware of that or not, but we are. Anybody have a chance to read the last month's Decision magazine? You get the Decision magazine, some of you? Not too many. Franklin Graham wrote a powerful message. You would recognize this Decision magazine because Phil Robertson's on the front page. Duck Dynasty guy. And so you would have remembered that Decision magazine. But Franklin Graham writes a powerful message in there about how we are at war. Even in America, it's a spiritual war that rages on around us. And the Christians right now are kind of in the crosshairs. But perhaps more importantly, brothers and sisters, listen to me now. We're losing the war. All you have to do is look around, listen to the news, read some things like Franklin Graham or a lot of other good publications, and you can see we're losing the war. I should say we're losing the battle because the war has already been won on Calvary. Amen? The war has been won at Calvary. The devil is a defeated foe. But the battle that rages on in human beings and on the earth today is real. It rages all around us. And so I hope that you can be with us for this series. I hope that you either take notes or have your listening ears on today, because I really believe what God has laid on my heart is from Him. And so I've started today's series with knowing the enemy. Let me ask you this. Who among you remembers what happened on December 7th, 1941 at 7:55 a.m.? Who remembers? What was it? Pearl Harbor. The attack on Pearl Harbor. Most of the time we would hear and assume that was without warning. However, a closer look reveals that it was not without warning. Let me read you some facts about that day, or days leading up to it. On three separate occasions, October 16, November 24, and November 27, the commanders of the military forces at Pearl Harbor were told, and this is a quote, "This dispatch is to be considered a war warning. Negotiations with Japan have ceased. You should execute an appropriate defensive deployment." Three times prior to December 7, they were warned that. Yet in spite of these warnings, very little was done to prepare for the battle. On that very morning, Washington decoded a Japanese message to its ambassadors who were right here in Washington, asking them to set up a meeting with the United States Secretary of State at 1 p.m., which would be 7 a.m. Pearl Harbor time. They decoded this message that said, get a meeting lined up with the U.S. Secretary of State. A clear indication that war was at hand. 4 hours before the attack, a Japanese submarine was sighted by the destroyer USS Ward, but no report was made. That same morning, privates George Elliott and Joseph Lockhart noticed a large blip on the radar screens, which they interpreted as a squadron of aircraft approaching Pearl Harbor. They immediately phoned the information center, but the switchboard operator told them no one was there. a little while later, a lieutenant called back and essentially told them, don't worry about it. Warnings. There were warnings. Unfortunately, the United States has never been able to forget what happened next because the warnings of attack were largely ignored. Approximately 2,300 Americans died. 1,300 more were wounded, and 1,000 were missing. You say, what's your point, preacher? The Bible warns Christians to put on the armor. The Bible warns Christians that we have an enemy, and he's real. His army is real. And from what I observed over the last years, and I think this is why God has put this spiritual warfare series on my mind and on my heart so pressingly lately, is I fear that the church hasn't got our radar out. Not sure why, but I fear our radar isn't out. And worse yet, I fear that, in fact, sometimes we in the church are even inviting the enemy in. And I will tell you how we're doing that over the next few minutes. Turn with me to Ephesians 6 and look in your Bibles. I'm going to refer to Ephesians 6 over the course of this series. And I want you to read Ephesians 6 this afternoon. It'll only take you a few minutes, but I want you to read about putting on the armor of God. Because people of God, we need to put on the armor. I'm only going to read you 2-3 verses from Ephesians 6 this morning. But I want you to see what God has said here through His writer Paul to the church at Ephesus. And I want us, the church, to take notice today. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. When I was reading through this in several different translations, I chose New King James today, but I wanted to know what wiles means. You know what wiles means? Trickery. You see, the adversary, we have an enemy, and he will try in his attempts to trick you. He will try in his trickery to confuse you. He will come at you, as the Bible says, we need to put on this armor or we will not be able to stand against the wiles and the trickery of the devil. Sometimes the devil, if you're a man and things aren't going all that good at home, the devil will disguise himself as a pretty lady at your workplace. And she'll smell nice and she'll look nice. Or if you're a woman and things aren't going so good at home, and you do go off to work, the devil will disguise himself as someone tall, dark, and handsome. The trickery of the devil is real to get Christians to fall, to sin, to want to reject God, and all manner of mayhem. The trickery of the devil is real. And lest we think we are above that and beyond that, let us take a very close look at Scripture, because the adversary is real. The enemy is real. And let me say this before I go any further. I said this 2 or 3 times the first service, and I want you to know this for certainty. I am not here to glamorize the adversary. But I am here to make us aware he is real, and he has infiltrated the church. He has infiltrated America. Just read Franklin Graham's message. And we are losing the battle to the adversary. Because he's real, and he's below the radar, and because he will come at you with his wiles, his trickery, and many different forms. He will come at our young people and say, you're not worth living anymore, just commit suicide. That is happening today in our communities. That is the wiles of the devil. And Paul challenges the church house. He's not talking to the world here. He's talking to the church people. Get on the armor. Get it all on so you can withstand these attacks, because they will come. Then he reminds us in verse 12, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. That is the enemy. Wickedness, darkness, ugliness. That is the enemy. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We might have a chance if we were. We're not. Now listen to me. Listen to me, friends. Listen to me really good. If we think we can combat this spiritual war and we can walk into this spiritual war and do anything about it with physical means, we're wrong. We're only going to be able to do anything against waging war in the spiritual realms spiritually. You say, Jim, I don't know what you're talking about. Let me give you some for examples. In the church house today, we have found it necessary to carry guns to the Sunday morning services, carry guns to Bible studies, Christian leaders, ministry leaders get permits to carry guns. I'm not against guns. I like to hunt too. I'm not against the Second Amendment. But I will assure you, brothers and sisters, to wage spiritual war, we will never have any effect with physical means. Ever. We cannot affect spiritual things in principalities of darkness with physical means. To take matters into our own hands and say, I'll just take this on, is never going to get it done in the spiritual world. Let me give you another for example. A while back, an abortion doctor was shot dead in a southern state here somewhere. I don't remember where it was, Kansas or Oklahoma or something. We will never win that battle with physical means. How is any heart going to be changed just to go shoot somebody dead? You see what I'm saying? We could demonstrate outside these nasty bookstores in America. They are despicable. Or we could walk in there with guns ablazing and we could wipe them all out. But we will never have any victory against the spiritual foes of darkness by physical means, ever. This war must be taken up spiritually. This war must be taken up with people on our knees. This war must be taken up with people on their face before God in prayer. That's how this war is won. Amen. And I might suggest, it breaks my heart to have to say this, to have to preach to you this, even these things, but I might suggest we start. I might suggest we start. We're losing the battle in America. We're losing our kids. We're losing the definition of marriage. We're losing the unborn. We're losing morality all over the globe because the people of God have not waged war spiritually. We cannot combat the spiritual with physical means. It'll never work. And in spiritual warfare, as at Pearl Harbor, the most dangerous attacks will come at you unexpectedly. Well, there may be a warning or two because we've got the good book that says he's real. He's like a roaring lion looking for he's going to devour next. But like Pearl Harbor, the spiritual war that many of us will face will come unexpectedly. And I want you to remember two things. Remember, you better get on the whole armor. And remember 1 John 4:4. Greater is He when you have been born again, when you have trusted Jesus Christ as Lord, greater is He that is in me and you than he that is in the world. Amen? Greater is Jesus than the adversary. The war has been won, but the adversary is still called the prince of the power of the air. He is still called in Scripture the God of this age. He is still wreaking havoc with people of God. And if we let him, and sometimes we do, unfortunately, he's going to take advantage. We've given him an invitation. He's going to take advantage. And so let me list for you. Let me just say this too. I've got about three times the material here we're going to get done with today, okay? And I'm going to try to go through some of it. And I'm going to pick it up again next week because this is important matters, brothers and sisters. And so I'm going to go for a while here and see how much time we have. I told my grandson this morning when I was reading my notes and he was sitting nearby. I said, I got about 2 hours worth of notes here. And he said, good. And he's in class now while you're up here. What kind of attacks will Christians suffer? Falling into sin, for starters. Do you think when a pastor or a church leader falls from grace to immoral sin, do you think they planned that out for a couple, 3 months? Oh, I think a couple months from now I'm going to fall into immorality. I'm going to fall into sexual adultery with somebody else. Do you think they planned that? What kind of attacks will the Christian suffer? Falling into sin. Physical sickness. I'm not so sure that this last 5 days of my dizziness has not been from the adversary. I don't like to give him any credit for anything, but I know one thing. I've been dizzy for 5 days, and I don't mean I'm always dizzy. I mean I've been physically dizzy for 5 days, and this morning there isn't any dizziness. I'm just a little weak in the body. Because I believe that through prayer, God has reminded me again that greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen. But you might experience some physical sicknesses. Our children and sometimes adults are experiencing tremors in the night, terrors in the night. I can't tell you how many cases I have been called on and have been to about haunted houses. We can scoff at it. We can turn up our nose at it. We can laugh on it. But spiritual war is real. And if we let them in, they're going to take advantage, this army of the adversary. Why do these attacks come? Sometimes they're by invitation. And I'm going to tell you about those invitations yet before we dismiss this morning. Sometimes they're by invitation. We know the book of Job. Sometimes they're not by invitation. Can anything be done about them? Praise be to God, the armor of God. Praise be to God. We can be born again in His Spirit. Praise be to God. We can pray. Praise be to God, the victory has been won through Jesus the Christ, the Son of God already. Sometimes it takes outright deliverance. Sometimes it does. But there's something that can be done because greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. What is it in our homes that invite the enemy? Let me be brief here for a moment and give you an idea. Pornography in your homes will invite the enemy. I guarantee it. Maybe not the first time, maybe not the second, but pornography and your or my homes will invite the adversary and they will oppress you because of it. Occult stuff. Ouija boards. Seances and a lot more. What is there in our homes? These things are invitations to the enemy. What am I doing in my life to invite the enemy? I might be doing drugs. The devil uses methamphetamines and heroin and drugs as his tool. I'll tell you a little bit more about that in a minute or two. I might be playing Dungeons and Dragons. I might be watching all kind of horror and cutting them up and shooting them up and blood and guts and gore. I was just talking to a family just recently about the stuff going on in their home. And one of the things that's prevalent there is horror movies. Blood and guts and nastiness. Do you remember what Jesus said the adversary came to do? Remember anybody? Three things. He came to kill, to steal, and to destroy. That's his agenda. And we're inviting it in. Not always, but too often we're inviting it in. Does anything have to be in my home? Anything have to be in my life to invite attack? All I can say is, read the book of Job. The Bible calls him an honest, upright, and just man. But if you've got on the whole armor of God, you've got the protection of the living God. Why are some of our children having nightmares, seeing objects and people at night? I've heard all these stories from our own people. It's right here in our communities, friends. The adversary is real. Why are our children suffering these things? What are we doing to invite the enemy into our house? What did the prior occupants do to invite the enemy into our house? Because he's coming in and he's wreaking havoc with our children. A lot of them at night. Why do some of our houses seem to have weird stuff going on? Does the enemy always come like a roaring lion? Even though Peter reminds us he's got the attributes of a roaring lion, he usually don't come like a roaring lion at all. He'll come with a sweet-smelling temptation. He'll come with something that looks too good to be true. He'll come with something tantalizing. Something the world is doing, and we rationalize, well, everybody else is doing it. He don't come like a roaring lion, because if he came with his pointy horns and his nasty pointy tail and his red outfit on or whatever he got, we would put up the defenses immediately. He don't come like that. He comes when your guard is down. He comes when you're tired. When you and your wife ain't getting along too good. When you and the pastor ain't getting along too good. Or you and somebody else in the church ain't getting along too good. He comes when you're hungry. He comes when you're stressed out. And all of a sudden, the adversary is manipulating and smooth and trying to tear apart somebody's marriage. Or some parents in their children's relationship. Or somebody in the church house. Or our entire nation through the White House. And through government officials, coming below the radar. I think about all these times, all these things, and all these questions just keep coming to my mind. And then I cry out in my spirit, why hasn't God just slapped the devil and his followers in hell? And make it a whole lot easier for his people on earth today. 2 Peter, let me go through a couple scriptures and then get to a little more exhaustive list. 5, 6 through 8. Peter says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. That is key, brothers and sisters, this idea, I deserve it, I need it, everybody else has got it. This pride that's driving us is the absolute opposite of what God wants of us. Peter says, humble ourselves. Will you get me some water, Sherry? Please. Humble ourselves, people of God. Humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Friends, you may not experience demon possession, but if we give Him an invitation, we're probably going to experience some demon oppression. He will mess with you. He will mess with us. He will mess with the church. Thank you. And He will tempt you to sin. Peter ain't talking to the world. He's talking to the church house. Your adversary, he said. Your adversary, people of God, is out here like a roaring lion looking whom he's going to grab up next and devour. Your adversary, people of God. Christians need to be on guard. We need to be on guard. The adversary will take advantage of your spiritual high. You know what I'm talking about? Go like this if you know what I'm talking about. Go like this and I'll explain it if you don't. The adversary will take advantage of your spiritual high. Things have been going well. Things have been going along pretty good. Had some spiritual victory. Then the adversary will come in the back door. Remember the book of Acts? Pentecost, huge victory. And we get to Acts 6 or 7 and we see the stoning of Stephen. The adversary slips in the back door, tries to take a little wind out of the sails, killed him. The adversary stirs up Herod, kindly removes the head of the Apostle James. Great victory. And in comes the adversary. Sometimes the adversary will take advantage of our spiritual highs. Sherry and I were ministering to a bunch of Mennonite pastors and their wives in a pastor spouse retreat here a couple, 3 springs ago out here in central North Dakota. It was going good. The weekend was going good. Friday night, we had a great session. And before the end was out, there was pastors all over the front of the church and kneeling down, crying out to God. That's just the way God was working in them. And the next day, a good day, people were reconciling some of their differences and some of their anger and some of their divisions. And it was a great day for the Lord. It's no credit to Jim. I just happened to be the speaker. God told me what to say. And God was at work amongst these pastors. And by 4 o'clock, had some sessions on Saturday, Friday night, Saturday. I had one to go on Sunday morning. And about 4 o'clock Sunday morning, I hurt so bad I just wanted to die. My head hurt so bad. My stomach hurt so bad. My body ached so bad. Sherry was trying to ask, what can I do to comfort? What can I do? And I just didn't want to be touched even. I hurt so bad. I wanted to die. My head ached so bad. She wanted me to take some ibuprofen or something. I said, I can't. My stomach hurts too bad. I can't take anything. And I laid there in pain like haven't had to experience before. I laid there in pain for some hours. And as Sherry was back and forth, other pastors began to see her. And other pastors want to know what she was doing. And pretty quick she told them that Jim is sick and he's really, really sick and his head aches so bad and his body hurts and his stomach hurts. And they began to pray because the first thing they said to my beloved is, this is spiritual war. I wasn't giving the adversary that much credit, but they recognized this is spiritual war. And these brothers went and sisters went to pray, and they sought the face of God, and God came through, just like the Bible says, because greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. And by 9 o'clock, I was up, I was able to shower, and by 10 o'clock, I led the last service. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. He will come at you sometimes when there is great victory and try to take the wind out of your sails and knock you down a peg or two. He will attack ministries. He will attack your marriage. He will attack your children. He will attack you when you're tired. He will attack you when you're hungry. I had a brother tell me just last week, the devil was coming to him saying, "You deserve a little drink." The man used to have trouble with drink. And the adversary come back to him and said, "You're tired. Been a long time. You've been doing pretty good. You deserve a drink. Matter of fact, you deserve a bunch of them." That's how the adversary will come to you and knock you down a ways and tempt you with all manner of things. Don't ever forget these words of Peter. Your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He will come at you in disguise. Let me read for you quickly. 2 Corinthians 11:14-15. Here's what Paul said. "And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light." You say, what? Now we got to be on our guard for the devil who's coming look like a good angel? "For Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness." Good grief, we're saying at this point. How are we supposed to discern? John says in 1 John chapter 3, "Test the spirits. Test the spirits. You know if it's contrary to the word of God, it's the wrong spirit." And so our time is up, and I want to close with that powerful song, "Your Great Name." But let me throw out some things to you, and we'll have to pick it up here next week too, because there's too much to be said to be just skipping over stuff. But let me throw some things out to you for your ponderance. And let me tell you right now, if you got things you want, a bone you want to pick with me, then you call me, you come see me, you write me. We'll talk about it. We'll pray about it. We'll seek the face of God. Let me tell you some ways the enemy comes into our homes, and we'll pick it up here again next week. Idols. You say, "Jim, what do you mean?" Idols. Remember the commandments 1 and 2? If we've got idols, idols of other religions, they're anti-God. And I'm saying other religions, they're anti-God. I've already mentioned pornography. I could tell you a very vivid story of a man that's in our church. He come into our community here. He was part of our church. He went to stay at his brother's house. His brother just happened to be in pornography. While he was sleeping there on the couch, about 2 hours into his sleep, all of a sudden he felt the breath being squeezed out of him. And then he felt, as it were, hands right on his throat. You say, "Jim, you've lost it now." I haven't lost it. The enemy is real. He was gasping for breath until he claimed the name of Jesus. That's why we're going to sing about the name of Jesus. Until this brother of ours who has been here claim the name of Jesus, the adversary was using that stack of pornography to oppress him that night and try to squeeze, as it were, the very life out of him. Oh, the devil will use it. The devil will use these methods. Drugs. Last week was good, wasn't it? Teen Challenge. Drugs are a tool of the devil. And let me just be brief, because I could tell you at least 4 stories about methamphetamine users, some of who have sat here with us. Praise be to God, because God has set them free. But let me be brief about one story. I was talking to a young man. He happened to be in jail. And he said, Jim, I'm going to tell you something. You probably won't believe me. You probably think I'm crazy. Everybody else does. I said, try me. He said, one day I was on a seven-day meth high. And I hope you've never experienced with meth, and I hope you don't have any temptations. And if you know somebody that is, you tell them to get off and get help right now, because it's a tool of the devil. He said, I've been on a seven-day meth high. Hadn't slept in 7 days. Hadn't eaten in 7 days. Just kept getting high. Just kept getting high. And at the end of 7 days, he said, the devil came to me and he stood right in front of me. It was just like he was standing right in front of me. And he said, you see all these pretty girls? Because there's a whole lot of folks there, been partying for a whole lot of time. You see all these pretty girls? Take them. That was the adversary coming to him and said, see all these pretty girls around here? Take them. And he started to rationalize with the adversary. What about the guys? What about these dudes around here? Kill them, was his reply. Just kill them. You got the means. You got the weapon. Just kill them. And he said, it scared me, Jim. It scared me enough that I ran to the outhouse. I ran to the outhouse and I cried out, God, please help me. And just like that, his seven-day meth high was gone. Hallelujah. I could tell you several more meth stories just like it. It's a tool of the devil. And he will use it against you. Hard. You won't like this one either, but I've already stepped on your toes, so allow me to do it again. Hard rock and rap music that glorifies violence and rape and murder and mayhem and abuse is from the devil. And he will use that. I can read you a story about a pastor's daughter who experienced it. The devil will use that garbage to oppress you. Ouija boards. Oh, I can't tell you the people I've talked to about Ouija boards. Dungeons and Dragons, horoscopes, and fortune telling. Like I said, you're probably going to have a bone to pick me with him when I get done, but you go ahead and you pick it. We'll talk about it. Native American stuff. I have talked to solid believers who are Native Americans. And friends, listen to me. Listen to me real good. Because I know people don't like to hear this. But if we are going to delve into the spiritual world of our native friends like dream catchers and burning sage, the devil is going to use that to oppress you. That is a spiritual matter, but it's the wrong spirit. I only say that because native people have told me that. Trying to contact the dead, the Bible forbids it. The Bible calls it necromancy. Witchcraft, obviously. Witchcraft, seances, voodoo. You say, Jim, come on. Friends, voodoo is real because it is of the spiritual world. Talk to people like Dan Rose, who's been in Madagascar. Talk to people like Les, who have been in Haiti. Voodoo is of the evil one. It's real. It's happening. If we give him an inch, he'll take it. Casting spells, divination, charms. Oh, I had a good long visit with Pastor Salek about charms. Lucky charms, protective charms. They've got lots of them in his arena. We got a few of our own. But when he's trying to deal with on a spiritual matter with people that are concealing their charms in their pockets or concealing them under their robe and they won't give them up, the spirit of the adversary has got a hold of them and they can't do anything with it until the charm gets dealt with. Oh, we got our own charms. We got all kinds of things. And then there's the horrific reasons the adversary will oppress you if you've been sexually abused as a child. No fault of your own whatsoever. I'm so sorry. It's happening all the time. But the adversary will use that too. It can be dealt with because, brothers and sisters, the war has been won. And greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Now, I got a lot more to say about a lot more things, but I'm going to close for today because I want you to come back and I want you to get hungry. I want you to get on the armor. I want you to have victory in Jesus. We're going to sing this last song because this is the name. You watch this second verse. This is the name. The enemy has to flee at the name of Jesus. And if you want prayer this morning, Pastor Isaac will be here. You want to kneel at the altar this morning. You want to get right with God today. You do it. Don't let the adversary afflict you and oppress you anymore. If you want to come up and pray or be prayed for, you do that. Friends, I know that some of you think I'm crazy. I am. I'm crazy for you. I'm crazy for your eternal destination. I'm crazy for your vibrancy in walking with Jesus. And if you're here today and haven't surrendered completely to the Lordship of Christ, come up and pray with Pastor Isaac today, because the Bible says today is the day of salvation, and somebody here today needs Jesus. Somebody here is struggling today with oppression and affliction, and I pray that over the course of time, the power and the name of Jesus, you'll be set free completely. And so if you still need to pray with Pastor Isaac, you come up here and pray. Let's bow and close in prayer. Almighty God, we praise you because greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. The victory belongs to Jesus. The devil and his followers are defeated. They will find their place in hell one day. At the name of God, they will be gone. They will be done. They will be cast into the lake of fire forever. There is victory in Jesus. Father God, I pray for today, whoever is here today and hasn't surrendered totally to you, today would be the day. Whether it's here with Pastor Isaac or Pastor Les, or whether it's in the quiet of their home, today is the day they get right with Jesus. And I pray, Heavenly Father, you would help reveal to us anything in our homes and in our lives that's giving opportunity for the adversary. Help us to burn it, get rid of it, cast it out, whatever. But help us to deal with it in Jesus' name. Father God, thank you. We can put on the armor. You have provided the armor, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of truth. You have given us the armor. Oh, thank you, Lord. We're not alone here. You've sent your Spirit. And so, Lord, I pray today as we read Ephesians 6, even when we go home, we'll get on the armor so we will be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. Glorify your name in these people, O God. Save our community. Save our families, O God. Glorify your name in us, Father. Help us take back our homes from the adversary. Take back our children from the adversary. Father God, help us Christians all over America to take back this nation for you, O God, I pray. Glorify your name in us, Father, I pray. Spirit of God, fill us up. There's no room for the adversary and his demons. Fill us up, Spirit of God, I pray. Go with us today, I pray. Help us to go here from here victorious in Jesus, I pray, in his precious name. Amen.